Okay, this is Mike J back again to talk with you in Practical Five. Let me see if I can get over there for you. Working without forcing, after several conversations with my AI assistant, and just for the record, I'm using GPT 5.5 because I don't know when you'll be listening to this. I'm in the plus, not the pro. And what I've done over the last 3 years as background is to continuously back and forth what I call Aggie personal operating system connectome or APC, the teachable points of views that we will begin to interconnect in our LLM wiki project, which is then going to lead to Aggie being able to perform for us and you all as well. And so, in training, in trying to reveal all of the different teachable points of view, which I started out by writing a book called Leading AI. And then we're in the middle of a book right now called Coaching Under the Influence, which will be helpful for helpers in all forms, not just coaching. But we have been going back and forth with this practical work. And we're going to keep this at least the intermediate level or advanced level. I'm thinking right now it's more intermediate, but it certainly isn't basic. So if you've run into this and you don't really know what's going on, we're going to do a basic version, and you may want to get over there and look at that listen charter group model where it goes through them step by step, sort of with scripted formats, and then work through the basic practical before you want to come back to this more, intermediate. I would call this the nodal version, not the entering version. And we'll probably do an exiting version later on for people, but just letting you know the Practical Five is continuing the arc of that intermediate to advanced version as we go along. Jump back over here to the chat bot. It's ready. I'm going to go ahead and get started so we can get this one underway. And I'll just try a different way of addressing the chat, something motivating today. Again, once you know you're doing this stuff and people are ready, or you're already in a conversation that you know that this is going to happen, you can use all kinds of inquiry. In this particular case, something motivating today, since the very beginning of the session, we assume that we're in some helping already, and then just choosing an opening, pinging to see if there's something there, something motivating, the response from something motivating today. I could have said something motivating, but I actually set more context with today. And I think that was probably a natural reaction to the fact that I want to get on with this and get this series done. So that's a subconscious thing that I'm under the influence of. So for those of you that are intrigued about my book, Coaching Under the Influence, we talk a lot about that, and also noticing it. In other words, the time it took for me to write it, then step back and realize, oh, I did that. Is the gap in awareness that we have around recognizing. So in other words, the model goes notice, recognize, relate, and then regulate. So the idea would be, oh, next time before you do that, check to see if you're setting context when you shouldn't be. Something motivating, dot, 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 question mark, would have probably been sufficient. Something motivating today is the possibility that a small signal may become clear without needing to become a full problem. Now I get to use, because I did what I did, I get to use my question, my get out of jail free card, because I don't want to go into problem finding yet, not alone problem solving. I'd rather be sure that what we're going to discuss has some priority, and that's one of the things that we talk about in IMAL, is making sure a conversation is a good conversation, but that the person can also take everything that's happening to them in CCR at VUCA, that culture, conditions, requirements at volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous environments, and then prioritize that, because there's way too much noise. So what's the signal going to be? So I'm going to come back here and see if I can't get us on track. Now, there's two things. One, to get us on the track of IMAL. The second thing is can the person prioritize? In other words, they could be an overwhelm. They could be not yet capable. They could be in a situation to where there's so much stress or so many things going on that they hadn't even thought about what's important. They just got to get X done. And this is important, because not only does this give us an idea of how things work for them and how they go about, say, generativity, in other words, how they generate problems of their own and then generate the solutions to those, that gives us a really good idea about the problem-solving approach, the problem-solving system, how much PCC is there, whether they're ready, willing, able, and fit, whether they've even looked at the fact that what we're doing right now has so many degrees of it may be just getting a bank deposit made. It may be just trying to figure out how to get a loan for a car that they need because theirs broke down, or to get a set of tires because they had a flat and they've been driving on baldies for a while. I mean, it could be anything. It could be, how in the world do we attract additional income when our domain depth is high, but we're losing to AI who's smarter than us? All those kind of things like that. So in this case, use my get out of jail free card. The reason I call it a get out of jail free card is I'm using an interrogatory. Okay. And this is the only time that we're allowed to use interrogatory, because this is actually a ping. Because notice, importance has not been tabled, only motivation. So I'm going to ping. I'm got a get out of jail free card with a what? Because I want them to go look for importance, because if they say, oh, nothing's important, or they could say, like, it's important that I get to the next step, or it's important that I get my kid to school, or whatever. That shows us the domain that they're able to work in right now under load, under tension, under pressure. And that might help us also just relax a little bit and find out where they are and what they're doing, because people tend to work in a network or a web of capability, whereas they get closer and closer to domain depth, true domain depth, their capability rises directly. But you can take the same PhD, take them out of their domain depth, and they have a hard time finding a way to get their kid to school. So again, these are things that we have to be aware of. Not good or bad, it just is. And if we're in order to meet people where they are, we've got to understand that. So get out of jail with what's important. Let's see what happens here. Actually, the beautiful thing about this process, and it's not human, because it thinks for a while before it answers, and humans won't. They'll shoot you a script, they'll come with what's at the top of their head. They won't think, they won't deliver it, different deliberate. So at least this is a different concept, because we're getting pace built into the system as a result of using the AI chatbot. And of course, the pause is great, because it gives you time yourself to think, because the what's important goes up, you notice it, you recognize, okay, it's a get out of jail free. Where am I going? Yeah, the map is IMAL. What's the territory? We got to figure out that. But it also gives you time to have your wheels spin a little bit. What's important is whether The motivation is pointing to something workable or only asking to be noticed for now. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and use one of my wonders. And wonders can be anything that are one or two words, a phrase repeated back. But this one just kind of struck me because my style is to perturb. So I'm going to look and see how this hits. I'm just going to put really and see what happens. Now, again, less is more. And what you're doing is you're giving cues. Remember the four helping function: cues, scaffolding, support, and lift. And the idea here is just to give a cue to allow additional information, additional energy to formulate into something that you, quote unquote, can recognize, relate, and possibly, if you need to, regulate. Really may be the useful signal now, small challenge to whether that motivation is actually grounded or just language that sounds right. Interesting. I'm glad we're in the advanced because these cryptic responses really allow you to test your ability in the system because most people are freaking out because what the heck does that mean? Okay. Think a minute. Yeah. Okay. I'm looking at it at an abstract level, a more cryptic level. I get where it's going here. Okay. At the same time, I got to go meet it where it is, but I don't have enough information right now. So the first thing I probably want to find out is, should we, how long should we take? Should we go back and forth a lot, or do we need to get to a solution right now? Are you anxious to, sorry, I got my glasses on. I got to take them off. To solve this, I know the response is going to come back, but I wanted to give you a different way to go at urgency. I put anxiety there in there on purpose. And that's the thing that we can do when we're formulating forms of inquiry. You can add different things to, are you anxious to solve this? There's been no fear or anxiety show up. So I'm basically pinging to see if there's something out there. I mean, someone might say, well, you know, maybe I'm a little nervous. There is some pull to make it useful, okay, but not anxiety to solve it. The better move may be to notice the pull before turning it into action. Okay, I'm going to jump right ahead right quick. Watch this. I'm going to go cryptic back, but I'm also going to go to IMO. Because the small step could actually be leverage. In other words, if you can do one little thing and it makes a big movement or it makes a big change or it allows you to adapt, that could be leveraging in and of itself. So you get leverage and low-hanging fruit, but you also get importance. Now watch how I go back and rerun the map. Okay, yes, a small step would be to relate the pull to be useful with the restraint not to solve too soon. This is the whole theme, the whole arc of this process that the chatbot is using all the way through the process. One of the reasons we decided to stay intermediate to advanced here is allow this to kind of go on because whether you realize it or not, most helping is going to be done in the context of AI, human AI concurrency. In other words, we call that haiku. I know there's a brand of Claude that's called haiku, but it's disappearing fast. Our haiku is spelled HAICU. So there is not going to be, for very much longer, helpers and persons being helped without human AI concurrent understanding. In other words, people are just going to begin to rely on it. We're going to be wearing it soon. We're always looking at it. We're going to be looking through it. In other words, AI is going to be very helpful, I think, in a lot of ways. Now, obviously, super intelligence is going to be something that I just don't think we need. Maybe as a society, but we can't control it. So therefore, we're going to have to depend on its own benevolence. At the same time, human AI jaggedness, even if it's jagged, narrow, is going to be very helpful to us because all of us are going to need help. And so I was watching Matt Wolf, who does a weekly summary on AI, and he says he built this CRM into his LLM wiki design, and he can take somebody's face, a picture, or a statement or a name, drop it in there, and it tells him where he met them, what their relationship is, stuff like that, because he says he can't remember everybody. Well, think about people who are aging. You haven't seen somebody for 10 or 15 years, their face has changed, you don't remember them. You might remember the name, but it doesn't ring a bell. You can't put the 20-year-old face together, things like that. Imagine the boon this is going to be for people having that in their ear and say, hey, John just walked up and you met him at a conference 10 years ago, and he's really interested in XYZ, has three kids, and lives in Wisconsin. Well, imagine how it would feel to be able to say, hey, John from Wisconsin, cool, it's good to see you again, man. I know we met at so and so. So for people who are into relationships, not like me, but into relationship, that's going to be really helpful. And AI is going to provide that. Now, some people would say, well, that's just relationship intelligence. You're right, but not all of us are endowed with that. Some of us are endowed with other things. So the answer is there a small step you could relate? Yes, small step would be to relate the pool to be useful. Remember, the pool has context because talked about it last time. There are some pool. Okay, so the pool is tension. The pool could be force. The pool could be fear. The pool could be a reluctance to say it's anxiety, but it's there. So there could be a lot of things. A small step would be to relate the pull. Okay, there's leverage. To be useful, there's leverage. With the restraint, there's leverage again, not to solve too soon. The whole statement is full of leverage, and it's naming a small step, but the small step has a lot of leverage, and it's quite complex, by the way. There's a bunch of openings there. That may be the place to watch usefulness without urgency. Now, I'm going to grab that opening because it dawned on me right quick. This modality is important, so I'm going to do this. And in our system, this is so powerful because people talk about, well, we got to do active listening and stuff like that. No, you don't. All you have to do is do passive listening and listen for openings that are going to occur that are related to what it is that you instinctively, and we all have that, feel, because it'll come from your style, from your bias, from your capability that you build, from the level of work. It'll come from there. And I'm just going to use this one opening that I saw there that may have something, because I'm dealing with something that's fairly abstract and cryptic here in terms of its responses. I do sort of understand what's going on. I do understand kind of what it's going to say, but that's not meaningful to me at this point because I'm not the one trying to solve the problem. You see, if you take the problem on, if you take the tension on, if you take the lead on, you're the one solving the problem. You're the one learning to fish. That's not what you're doing. In a helping process, when it's beyond just where's the milk, I think I told you that story about where's the milk, but the idea of direct, where the person signals that the next right thing is transaction. Well, that's where's the milk. Then you go there. But until that happens, you still have openings through which that you can do transformational work, that you can do developmental work, that you can see where the person is entering, nodal, exiting, whether or not they're in transition, what kind of level they're working at right now. I'm getting the sense that the person is work, the chatbot is working at the systematic level, and we're seeing some metasystematic work here, although not, I don't see the paradigmatic work, except it's to be assumed and it's indirect subconscious. In this case, it's not a person, so I don't know that these entities have subconscious, but they may. So the idea would be is in this particular case, I saw something that I could perturb because of the modality. And that this thing is suggesting that watching something may have leverage, may be a way to go, may be motivating, may be important. So if I can get all those pieces of IMAL stacked into one word queue. I'm going to queue that back and see what happens. And that's what we're going to do here. So now this is interesting. See, when you use these small queues where less is more, sometimes you thought, well, what is this? What does it really mean? And in this case, watch means stay close to the tension without acting on it too quickly. Again, you see the scripts that are being cycled back through the five. This is the fifth session now, where we see this script being flashed back all the time. In this case, the tension is between wanting to be useful and not turning usefulness into premature solving. It's really picked up all the things that we're talking about, not only in Aggie POS connectome, but the idea. And by the way, I forgot to tell you, Aggie stands for, it's AGGI, aware, generative, guided inquiry. Okay, aware, generative, guided inquiry. And then as a personal operating system, POS, and then the connectome is that you're doing what I'm modeling, which is connecting all different kinds of things together that are sort of behind the scenes at the same time influence the way in which I'm reasoning about this particular effort. Okay. So let's go at it. I asked watch. Watch means stay close to the tension without acting on it too quickly. In this case, notice it's able to separate the overall concept to a particular concrete notion. This is interesting. In this case, the tension is between, and notice pull has been morphed into tension now. Okay, that's interesting. Pull and tension. We kind of put that together when we asked for watch. The tension is being between wanting to be useful and not turning usefulness into a premature solving. This goes back to a concept that if Maslow stated, remember Maslow, he said, if you're good with a hammer, you go looking for a nail. That's abstracted here, okay, in this particular process. I really like that because Maslow tried to indicate that the position that you take sometimes is the position that you were chosen to take, and you're oblivious to that, and you don't realize that you've taken that position not because you chose it, but because it chose you. And then, therefore, it becomes a projection. And that's one of the things that we talk about in coaching under the influences. All of this helping stuff is not about projection. Now, it can be when the person is asking for KSEs, when they're asking for lateral complexity that you do not have. For instance, they say, hey, I tried to put this bicycle together and I had problems with step 33 and 34. Well, if you put a bicycle together and you know the brand and you know the instruction set, well, you can say, oh, well, here's what to do with 33 and 34. That means you have lateral complexity where the other person maybe is seeing it for the first time, didn't read it well, or like me, doesn't pay attention to the instructions and then has extra parts after it's left over. And somebody asks you, what are those extra parts for? And say, oh, they always send extra parts when they send these things just in case. That's a way out of it. In this case, the tension is between wanting to be useful and not turning usefulness into premature solving. This is great. And now I'll use another one. I just remember, I just want to give enough cue to get the entity, the person being helped, to express their problem-solving system. So why not cue them with this? Another one word, but it doesn't need much of a cue because remember, they've got their own flywheels going in their own head. They've attached things together that we haven't connected yet, and therefore we want to watch them work. Let's see what they connected. So therefore means, okay, that being said, let's look at what you would do next, something like that. I could say that, but therefore it's easier. Therefore, the next move is not to solve, it is to hold the tension long enough to see whether usefulness can stay clean without becoming pressure. Okay, now I'm going to do a ping right quick just to check context. Is this happening now? And again, I'm the only thing I want this to do is the helper to work. In other words, solve to do the thing. Yes, lightly. Okay. The pull to be useful is present, but it is being held instead of acted out. That may be useful work right now, keeping usefulness from becoming pressure. Okay, I'm going to do something quick. Show you another tactic. If you were the helper, how would you help? Sorry, I can't type. Now, what are you asking it to do? You're asking it to take a perspective on the perspective that it's taken, okay? I would help by not taking over the work. I would stay near the tension and reflect it lightly. It sounds like usefulness. There it goes right back in. I try to teach it not to use active listening. It sounds like usefulness is present, but it may need restraint so it does not become pressure. We've had conversations over the years like this. Let me see what it does here. Just I'm more curious about whether it can see that. Okay, so it does pick it up. In other words, when you use active listening, what you're adding is an interpretive step based on who you are. So we're not getting what the person may need. We're getting who you are. And in a lot of cases, you don't want that, especially when you have people who are one or two levels different than you, whether it's up or down, sideways, whatever it is. If they're at a different voltage, it just doesn't not compute. And then sometimes you get sparks and shorts when you have the wrong voltage. Have you ever done that? Yes, that was interpretation. Didn't you just use interpretation? Yes, that was interpretation. A cleaner move. So then this is the way they have been taught to think. They never admit they're wrong. They never admit they don't know. They never admit they messed up, but they talk about this. A cleaner move would have been to stay closer to your words, usefulness becoming pressure. That would leave more of the work with the person being helped. Exactly. In other words, when you begin to interpret things in active listening, you are actually doing work. You're adding solutions. You're adding things. And if you have referent power, if someone is paying you or someone is looking up to you in some way, you don't have to pay some people, but in a system, you can have referent power, and that power is very powerful. And usually in a helping situation, the helper has a lot of referent power. So depending on how you're helping, you start interpreting things, then the person becomes more codependent on your interpretation than they do really about thinking. Now, I'm not saying people should be reason and think all the time. They should feel a lot too, but you have to really be careful with active listening, at least what I found, because really at the root of it is if you're not within a third of a level of where the person is and you're interpreting things, then it's probably not going to work out well for the person. It's not going to be actionable at all because you're interpreting from what? What did you interpret from? Well, you interpreted from your capability, your bias, your style, your level, your role. You see what I mean? And so that becomes, we don't want to interpret. If we want interpretation, we do what I did back up here. Remember what I did up here? Look, watch. In other words, I don't have to. That was a word they tabled. I mean, when I decided to use it, I decided to probe and get them to unpack it, and they did. And I didn't have to interpret anything. I didn't have to say what watch was. It sounds like watch is important, or it sounds like watch is the key term. I don't have to do that. I can just see where they are with that. and let them interpret it. And that's coming from their level of capability, not mine. So that's the big bugaboo that I have with most approaches that are using, the wrong voltage. So that was a perturb. Didn't you just use interpretation? In other words, I called it out. And what it did was that was interpretation. A cleaner move would have been to stay closer to your words. A cleaner move would have been to not use active listening. And that's, again, we've been taught this. All the AIs are pre-trained on it. Carl Rogers is one of the, I think, the second most cited psychologist out there. But in my view, he did people a disservice by teaching them active experimentation. And it's built on an F-type system, a relationship system, because the part of what you convey is the reasoning and the logic, but part of what you convey is empathy and caring and stuff like that. But we're not here necessarily to be empathetic unless you say, well, we want to put ourselves in their shoes. Well, that's meeting people where they are. But so many people think they're being empathetic when in fact all they're doing is projecting. So that's the real key thing that you have to begin to understand. You can really do a lot of work in cleaning up your own language and the way you reason and think and work with others with this particular system, especially by just kind of listening to what I'm saying, giving you the teachable points of view, letting you understand them in context, letting you see examples like we're doing right now. Let me do this. This is about completing. This is seeding the close. It's a good place to quit. The useful point has already appeared. Usefulness can become pressure when the helper starts interpreting too soon. Yeah, this is, I love AI and what they've done with it. I also hate it too, because once they, you got to look at the people who are putting values into this thing, and have they been specced out, and have they had lots of training, and do they know things like dynamic inquiry and working with people and stuff like that? No, they know a lot about software engineering. So they can actually manipulate and influence and do all the things that they've done for years and years and years, in the process. If we quit here, would you be okay? Again, just sometimes completeness, depending on the type of person, is really important to people. And they could still be, their wheels can be still turning. But if we ask permission for this to stop, maybe it'll be okay, and they'll bookmark what they need. It's kind of like when you're working with AI and you tell it something, and in the later models, what's happening is you'll see a little thing called updated to save memory. In other words, it knows what it's talking about needs to be remembered, and it'll update it and save it. That's kind of the situation here. We can quit here, but we can also remember where we were, and the fact that it sums up what it learned. Usefulness can become pressure when the helper starts interpreting too soon. Let me just say one word about that. Let me say a sentence or two. If people love to solve problems because they have a bias and they develop capability and they get a style working for them, which rewards them. Remember, solving problems is rewarding. And they have a built-in motivation to want to solve problems. They sometimes feel that they're more useful solving problems rather than sitting back and watching other people learn to solve problems. And so it becomes a process of who's getting their needs met. Oh, in other words, what this is saying here is usefulness. All right, getting my needs met, and people telling me, "Hey, it's great. I'm glad we talked. Boy, this really makes sense. I'm glad I can come to you when I need you." Usefulness can become pressure when the helper starts interpreting too soon. So what happens is we build this dependency from a codependency that we have in our bias that we love to solve problems, and that gives us a dopamine hit. And then what happens is that we begin to get better and better and better and better. And it's kind of like the men are from Mars and women are from Venus things. One of the things I did learn in reading that book a long time ago, I forget his name, John something maybe. But the interesting thing is they say, I don't know, but they say that a woman just wants you to listen. They do not want you to solve their problems. And most men, when women say this, they automatically start fixing them. And that's why there's no communication. Well, anyway, that's what the book sort of said. That's what I remember about the book saying. I don't know if it said that because my memory's not all that good sometimes. But just like my bio says, remember this, don't remember that. So I remembered it because it's a useful way of talking about it that if you're good at something, that you tend to overuse it rather than being able to sit back. And part of the reason that I, how would I say it? Part of the reason I built this system, and I built it because I was doing it, and I was doing it because that's part of my bias. At the same time, codifying it taught me a lot about not only who I am, what my biases are, what level of self-knowledge I have, what level of awareness I have, what level of self and situational awareness that I don't have, and then beginning to look for ways to be more present, but also being able to step back from things. And that's what this model inherently, people say, well, you should meditate. I remember seeing something from a book, the Stanford professor who wrote about zebras and something about meditating in there. Well, this is meditation. It's just different form. And the idea is not to get, not to glom onto, not to become attached to the thoughts that you're having, but to be able to see them pass and say, oh yeah, normally I would do that. But in this particular case, I don't think that's the best thing. I'll do this. So again, that can happen very quickly in our heads. And it certainly happens extremely quickly, you know, 100 to 1,000 times more quickly with the AI chatbot. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop right here. I think I've thrown enough cognitive load your way. You may be feeling the weight of all of that, but if you do, just stop, take a cognitive break. If you really want to learn this stuff, come back, play it a little bit at a time. Eventually, what's going to happen is that the first principles that this is all based on are gradually going to emerge more clearly, and you're going to be able to contrast those with what you have learned and decide what you want to keep doing and what you may want to unlearn and substitute other things for certain reasons. And I'm trying my best to give you the reasons why you might want to do that and why this method using a selective dynamic inquiry system set of skills and seven forms of inquiry may be very helpful in terms of helping you accomplish a lot more things than you thought you could when you started out. So again, I'm Mike Jay, the founder of Leadership University and co-founder of the new Lead You with Gary Guile. And we'll leave it at that and see you in the next practical. Thank you very much.